Amen. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. I've never made an entrance like that before. This is the first. I want to remind all the marrieds that are going to Winship, please do not forget to bring your songbooks in addition to your Bibles and notebooks, obviously. Service at Meadow Creek will start at 10 o'clock. There will be no classes for the kids or for the adults. It's just the service will be from 10 to 11. So those of you that are behind, do not be late. It's going to be 1 hour, and Joe Washington is going to be preaching. The service will start promptly at 10, and by 11, you guys will be done. But on a very serious note, we need to be praying for Steele Garber's mother. She was diagnosed yesterday with pancreatic cancer. And so please, let's be praying for her. Her name is Tommy Galbraith, and I'll be praying for Steve's grandmother, who's still alive, and obviously the entire Galbraith family. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 22. The title of tonight's lesson is The Great Banquet Invite. And I started talking to the family group leaders about this at our meeting on Sunday. It's really incredible to be in the kingdom of God. It really is. I don't think you and I even have a clue of what we're a part of and what's about to happen and what's about to come. And I think too many times as Christians in the day-to-day grinding of life, we forget really what we are a part of. We forget who we are. We forget what's awaiting us. And hopefully tonight, as we continue to look into the scriptures, it would help us to truly understand what we're all about, and what God is all about. Amen? Amen? You can see I'm dressed up for the occasion. All right? You don't show up for a banquet in ordinary slacks or shirt on tie. Okay? You put your best on. All right? This tuxedo has been hanging in my closet for 7 years, and so I dug it out. And it still fits. I don't have a bow tie, and I put one on, you know, and, but when you're going to a banquet, you dress for the occasion. Amen. You get yourself ready. Right. And, you know, if I was invited to the White House, I'd probably dress something like this, you know, because again, you want to put your best foot forward. And I think we got to really understand and begin to appreciate what God has called us to be a part of. And that's what I want us again to talk about tonight. In Matthew chapter 22, and we'll begin reading verse 1. It says, Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business, and another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, "The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. "Friend," he asked, "how did you get in here without wedding clothes?" The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen." I want you to notice something here. Again, Jesus is speaking in parables. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a king. Not just anybody. He says, a king. The king, in our case, who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. This was the first notice, so to speak, where the invitation went out. And people were invited to the wedding banquet for the son. And you would think those who had been invited would start anticipating and getting themselves ready for the occasion. Start preparing themselves for the occasion. Just like we just saw when those guys were getting married in April. They planned that wedding for over a year. Because a lot of things are involved to pull that off on that particular day. And for us, a lot of people were anticipating that day. And I don't know if you saw it. I saw some of it. And we were looking forward to that. If anything, the women were really interested in what the bride was going to be wearing. And it was a well-kept secret because it never leaked out. Nobody knew what Kate Middleton was going to look like. And people were looking forward to what she was going to look like. And so in this story, God sends out the advance notice. He now sends out a second notice. He says, "Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened calf have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." In other words, dinner is served. I don't know about you. You know, you go to a party or you go to some kind of reception. And yeah, they give you some finger food. They give you some hors d'oeuvres and appetizers. And everybody's waiting for dinner. You know, hopefully you didn't eat before you got there. If you're smart, that's what I do. Okay, I don't eat before I go to such occasions. Because I want to eat and enjoy and sample everything they have to serve. Okay? It doesn't make sense. Why should I go fill up my stomach before I get to this thing? Are you with me? So dinner is served. But again, I want you to imagine this. This is not just some banquet. This is the king. I don't know. I've ever gone to a restaurant where you go in and obviously, you know, they have a dress code usually. You just can't come in there with slacks or whatever. There are some restaurants, if you show up without a jacket, they will lend you one. They will not seat you. Because, you know, it's very fun. It's very, you know what I'm talking about? Very wealthy people. People that talk with their necks. And you walk in, you know, they sit you down. And, you know, the waiter comes over and is explaining, you know, the menu to you and the whatever. And it's always amazing to me. You know, they always, a lot of times they'll throw in these French, you know, words in there. And, you know, we sauteed it with this and this. And there's not a bon pan. Like, what in the world? I mean, even before they bring the food, you know it's going to taste good. I mean, when they start mentioning words that you and I cannot even pronounce, believe me, the stuff is good. All right? These guys know what they're doing in the back. But I want you to imagine this banquet that the king has prepared for us. And I think I say that to say so many times we allow the worries of this life and the pressure, and we forget what we're about to partake of. It's going to be incredible. I mean, that was some wedding cake. I'd have loved to have tasted it. But sorry, I was not invited. You were not invited either. But just imagine what God's banquet is going to taste like. This is an invite from the king, not just anybody. As a matter of fact, in that culture, it was an act of treason not to accept the king's invitation. It was an act of treason or a declaration of war. It was that serious. I mean, imagine, it was the ultimate insult. When the king summons you, you show up. Look in, where am I here? Where are my notes? 2 Kings chapter 10. You see, when the king summoned you, you better show up, or bad things are going to happen. There's a story here that hopefully you've studied in your Bible at some point. Jehu, the king in Israel at the time, is trying to wipe out Baal worship. And so what does he do? In 2 Kings chapter 10, we'll begin reading verse 20 because of time. It says, Jehu said, call an assembly in honor of Baal. So they proclaimed it. Then he sent word throughout Israel, and all the ministers of Baal came. Not one stayed away. They crowded into the temple of Baal until it was full from one end to the other. And Jehu said to the keeper of the wardrobe, bring robes for all the ministers of Baal. So he brought out robes for them. And the story goes on. The point I'm making is, he sent out his invite and all the guys showed up. Why? Because the invitation was from the king. Now obviously, they had no idea what was about to happen to them. He lured them in, they were all in one place, and he had them all slaughtered. And later on, the Bible tells us that is how he wiped out Baal worship in Israel during his time. He got rid of all the false prophets of Baal. Are you with me? But they all showed up because the king summoned them. Let's go back to Matthew 22. Notice these guys. In verse 5, it says, they paid no attention and went off. One to his field, another to his business. They didn't even have the courtesy to RSVP the king. Did you notice that? You know, it's one thing if you're invited to a banquet or some kind of important occasion. Usually at the bottom there's RSVP, répondez s'il vous plaît. That's what it is in French. It says, please reply. And you reply to say, you know what, I'm going to be there. And usually the reason for that is so that they can have a chair for you at the table. And also it helps them to prepare in the amount of food and drinks they have to prepare. Are you with me? But at least the least you and I are expected to do is to respond. And if you're not going to show up, they've marked you down that you're not going to show up. These guys did not even have the decency to reply to the king's invitation. And so it tells us here, it goes on to say, the rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. Obviously, a parable is a story with a spiritual meaning. He's talking about the prophets of old that he had sent to the nation of Israel. Talking to them about the coming of his son and the coming of the Messiah. And they killed most of them. They didn't listen. Now watch the reaction. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. I believe he's referring to what's about to happen in just a few years in terms of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. That's exactly what God did. God allowed their enemies to come in and destroy them. And Jerusalem was burnt up. The temple was destroyed. And Judaism, for all intent and purposes, ceased to exist from 70 AD onwards. But I want you to notice who the king is upset with. He's upset with those who were invited who did not respond to his message, to his invitation. Are you with me? The king is not upset with the servants. Now, who do the servants represent? Us. Are you with me? The servants is us. You see, a lot of times we think God is upset with us. God is not upset with you and me. Are you with me? As long as we're doing and going out and extending the invitation God has told us to extend. Now, if you and I are just sitting around doing nothing, you better believe he's upset with you. Because we have a job to do. He's given us a task. Are you with me? These guys were so busy with all the temporary stuff. Well, I got to go take care of my oxen. I got to go take care of my business. All that stuff is temporary. Instead of thinking about the eternal. Instead of thinking about the future. Which is what everybody needs to be thinking about. But it's very important that the king did not get upset with them. He got upset. Sorry, not with us. He got upset with them. To me, this story is an amazing story because just like in the Old Testament, because God is God and he sees everything, he knew that those guys were not going to respond to his invitation and he still prepared the banquet and sent the servants out anyway. Now you may say, wait a second, God, why are you wasting your time? You know these guys are not going to respond. Let's just move on. But God doesn't operate like that. Are you with me? Just like in the Old Testament where a lot of prophets went to the Israelites, talking to them, and they didn't listen. And God says, continue to preach. They're stubborn. They're obstinate. As a matter of fact, they're not going to listen to you. But you know what? When you're done, they're going to know that a prophet was amongst them. Are you with me? And I think too many times, you and I, we make the same mistakes. Where we've been sent to a lost world to invite people to this incredible banquet. And like Danny was talking about a few weeks ago, we prejudge people. Well, she's not going to respond. Who told you that? You don't know until you've extended the invitation. Are you with me? My job, your job, is to extend the invitation. How people react and what they do with it is entirely up to them. One day, when we stand before the king, and everybody's given an account for their lives, that man is going to be there, that woman is going to step forward and be judged. And say, now, you're not going to make it because you didn't accept my invite. I said, well, look, did you invite me? Yes, I did. Carlin reached out to you at the Shell gas station in Snellville, Georgia, September 15, 2011. Michael, play back the tape. Or whatever it is they're going to be using up there. Okay? Everything is being recorded. Oh, look, I didn't know that was one of your servants. Sorry. That was your opportunity. As a matter of fact, not only after that, then I sent somebody else. Then you moved next door to one of my kids. And he invited you over for dinner twice. He kept on asking you to come to church. You didn't listen. And then you moved away. Oh, that was one of your servants too? Yes. You see, all you and I can do is sow the seed. And spread out the invite. Are you with me? What they do with it is entirely up to them. That it's very important that, yes, as we sow the seed, as we invite people out, as we talk about Jesus, that we're praying for them. Because again, the Bible talks about how it is the God of this age, that is the devil, that has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. That's why they can't see the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Prayer is the key. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Are you with me? where we're praying for God to open people's eyes, praying to God for them to see their need for God. Many of us are disciples today, believe it or not, because when you were being reached out to, when you were coming to church, a lot of people that you didn't know anything about were praying for you. They were praying for you on a daily basis. And now you're here. We got to do the same for other people. Amen? Your prayer list just shouldn't be, oh yeah, Lord, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. It should be about other people. It should be about other souls. Amen? And then we extend the invitation. We talk to them. I mean, it's amazing just to see God's patience and to see God's heart. And that's the same heart and patience we need to have. You know, there are very few people who, you know, accept the invite on the first time they're given. Very few. You know, some of us, again, I mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. I'm not going to call out your name, not to embarrass you. You know, I mean, we're talking way before caller ID, where your phone would ring and you would tell your wife or your husband, if it's that lady from that church, tell her I'm not here. Oh, you're laughing because you did it. Oh, I'm sorry, you can't come to the phone right now. Can I take a message? Yeah, tell him this is and so. I'll call back again. Okay. And then you sit and go, what does he want? And finally you say, you know what? I'm just going to go. Let me just go once so that he will stop calling me. And now here you are, you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? They were patient. They didn't give up on you. They kept on praying for you. They kept on reaching out to you. We got to do the same for other people. Some will accept our invitation, some will not. And the cool thing about this is, you know what? After that, God says, you know what? Go outside, just grab everybody. Good and bad. Figuratively speaking, because nobody's good except God alone. See, just go bring everybody in. Now, praise God, that's us. That's how you and I, as Gentiles, got drafted into the kingdom of God. Amen? Now, one of the cool things about this passage, it says, you know what? The servants went out and brought people in. And the Bible says the wedding hall was filled with guests. What does that tell you? That tells me that everybody who's going to be in heaven will get there. As a matter of fact, I believe that's the only reason Jesus has not come back yet. The day is going to come when everybody that's supposed to respond to this message would have answered. At that moment, there's no reason for God to wait anymore. Remember, he knows everything. Again, I'm making this up. Let's assume Alan Rouse is going to be the last person on this earth to respond to the gospel. Okay? Now, only God knows that. All right? Now, let's assume, again, I'm making this up. That happens in 2029. All right? This guy called Alan Rouse in Lawrenceville, Georgia. He repents. He gets baptized. We're all excited. We're singing, I've decided to follow Jesus. And all of a sudden, we just hear that trumpet. But I don't even know what it's going to sound like. I mean, we hear the trumpet blast. And everybody looks up and goes, whoa, here it comes. It's over. And all of a sudden, all the people that you've been reaching out to, who have been hiding and giving excuses, now they're calling you. Hey, hey, can we get together? Sorry, it's too late. It is going to happen. Because the Bible says so. Many will beg, let us in. And God says, I never knew you. So I say this to say, time is not on our side. Time is not on their side. But everybody that's going to be there will be there. Again, that gives me a lot of comfort to realize that, you know what, my labor is not in vain. Now, it would be so easy if God were to tell us, if somehow, with the Holy Spirit living inside of us, where everybody we encounter on a daily basis, we can tell, you know what, this one is going to be a disciple and this one isn't. But then if you think about it, it would be too easy. Because all I would do is, I'm walking around, it's like, oh yeah, hey, let me talk to this guy. Well, this next 15, they're not interested. Next. But you see, God doesn't do it that way. You never know who is open. You never know who is going to be at this wedding banquet until you open your mouth. Are you with me? And the amazing thing is, most people don't realize that they need to be at this banquet. They think they're already in. That's the world in which we live in. But God has called us as his servants to go out there. Now notice, it says, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed the man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. Now, friend, that is not an endearing term in this context. That's like saying, hey, Sonny. Hey, you. How did you get in here? That's exactly what's going on in here. Again, back then in that culture, if you were invited to a banquet and you showed up, the host will provide you with the wedding clothes. Okay? You didn't come in your own raggedy, whatever it is you want to put on. Even if you came in that, you're going to put the wedding clothes on that the host provide. And so, literally in the hall, everybody looks the same. And so this guy thought he could sneak in. Okay? Now, that royal wedding that took place in April, there was somebody conspicuously missing. That's because she didn't get an invite. She had messed up, I think it was last year sometime, the ex-Duchess of York, Princess Fergie. She was not invited to that wedding. She had been caught on tape trying to, you know, take a bribe from some guys to give access to her former husband. And these guys, the British tabloids, you think the American newspapers are horrible? Man, England is a totally different story. It's a totally different monster. I mean, they are just vicious. But they set her up. They had cameras. They had her, and I mean, it was right there. And so the queen said, that's it. We're done. She was not invited. Her kids were there. Her ex-husband was there, but she wasn't invited. Can you imagine if Fergie had tried to great crash that wedding? You and I would have been saying, wait a second. Hey, how'd she get in? The queen would have said, could you go, somebody just take that woman and get her out of here. She didn't show up because she was not invited. You see, nobody's going to be able to sneak in into this banquet. It's not possible. God will find you out, even if the person tried. Only those that have been invited, only those with wedding clothes will be there. In a matter of speaking, spiritually speaking, I believe the wedding clothes in this story, for us, for our purposes, stands for the blood of Jesus. Because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us and now gives us access to the Almighty God. And so you can imagine, here we are, we're having a great banquet, you know, in heaven, and somebody shows up. Who never made Jesus Lord? Who never repented and got baptized for the forgiveness of their sins? They don't have the blood, they don't have the Holy Spirit. God can spot them from 2,000 miles away. There's no way they're getting in. Why? Because they don't belong there. They don't have the proper attire on. Are you with me? But the room is going to be filled with guests. Brothers and sisters, this is an incredible event. This is an incredible life that we're inviting people to. And some of us treat it as if we're inviting them to something horrible. It's like, well, you know, how's it going reaching out to your friends or your family or strangers or whatever? Well, I don't know, this. As if it's some terrible thing we're inviting people to. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, I'm dressed to kill right now, okay? Okay, I make this look good. What's that boy's name? Will Smith said in Men in Black. I make this look good. What do you call it? Can you imagine if I went out, you know, just going about my business dressed this way, and I have my invite, and I'm walking up to people, and I say, hey, excuse me, how you doing? Introducing myself, inviting them to my house or to church or whatever. 9 times out of 10, I think they will accept my invitation because of the way I'm dressed. Are you with me? They're not just going to, who does he think he is? And just take my invite and, throw it into the garbage or something. They're not going to do that. Not in my presence anyhow. Are you with me? But you see, we're inviting people to an incredible thing. Now, yeah, you may not be dressed like it externally, but if people only knew, they will be banging your door down and say, hey, I need a ticket. How do I get in? Hey, where's my invite? Come on. Are you with me? And that's where prayer comes in, where we're praying for people's souls and crying out to God so that people see their need for God. Sunday, what's his name? I know a ton of us are football fans. Yeah, we're going to a marriage retreat and we're coming back. And then Sunday night, the Falcons are playing the Eagles, Philadelphia. Michael Vick is coming back into town. And believe it or not, he's a much better quarterback than when he was here several years ago. Okay? But it's a hot ticket. It's a hot ticket. It's going to be a packed house. If you try to buy a ticket right now, I'm talking way up in the rafters. If you pay less than $600 for that ticket, you're lucky. Because this is his first time coming back as a starting quarterback. And you know he's going to want to perform. And the Falcons lost their opener last week. They're going to also show up and play. It's going to be a great game. But guess what? I'm going to that game when we come back from my retreat. My brother Danny Doble was kind enough to let me tag along. I'm going to that game. I can't wait. I'm going to be screaming. It's a hot ticket. And I'm not paying a penny for it. Okay? Now, I know he's not going to let me do this. I can turn around and sell that ticket for $500. Obviously, I'm not going to, okay? I want to see the game. But the point is, we have an incredible banquet. This is the hottest ticket in town. If people only knew, if you really understand what you're part of. And we can't treat it like, well, I just don't know. As if we're inviting people to this, I don't know what you can even call it. Some kind of miserable, dinner or something. That's not the case at all. Are you with me? It's an incredible thing we're inviting people to. But you see, what happens is because people reject our invitation a lot of times, we take it personally. Now look in John 15, a passage again we're very familiar with. But Jesus says, don't take this thing personally. In John 15, this is before he goes to Gethsemane and goes to the cross, right after the Last Supper, they're still in the upper room. He says in verse 18, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. We got to stop taking this thing personally. He said, oh, Richard, that's so hard to do. You need to obey the Bible. That's what I try to do. Here I am, all decked up, heading to this beautiful banquet where we're going to be eating shrimp, boulet, and all this, all this nice stuff. It's going to be awesome. And I extend an invitation, and you're giving me excuses. You got to go to your business, and I'm supposed to be feeling bad. That's what most of us do. It shouldn't be that way. It's like, you know what? Sorry, you're missing out. I'm going to go find somebody else. They're not interested either. I'm going to just keep going down the line. And I'm going to meet somebody who's like, man, I've been waiting for somebody to invite me to this stuff. And you're going to say, yes! Kunta Kinte, I found you! That's the way it always happens. Are you with me? You just got to keep going. It's not you they're rejecting. It's Jesus. It's the message. You cannot take it personally. Look in John chapter 12. Did I say John 12? I meant Matthew 12. Oh, no. I've been messed up now. I wrote down the wrong verse. Okay, hold on. I'll find it. So I was all excited. Just thinking about how I was going to do this lesson. I wrote down the wrong verse. Hang on. Where am I? Okay. Be dressed ready for service as one waiting for their master to come back from a... Oh, okay. I wrote John 12. I'm sorry. Luke 12. Here we go. Luke 12, 35. It says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. He's talking to us. I think a lot of times we use this verse to help non-Christians to get urgent about their lives and stuff, and rightly so. But it's talking to us. Most of the parables, most of the quote-unquote what you call the red letter, were written to disciples. Are you with me? But it says you and I need to be ready, dressed ready for service. Where all of a sudden, all of us, we have a part to play in this. Are you with me? It's not just a special elite group. This ain't the U.S. Army. Where you have, you know, or the Navy, where you have SEAL Team 6. I mean, we're talking the baddest of the bad. Those boys are so bad, you don't even know their names. That ain't so in the kingdom of God. We're all soldiers in God's army. Are you with me? Reaching out and being a servant and, an evangelism, if you want to even use that word, is not a gift. It's something that God expects every one of us to be doing. Are you with me? Now, which is not to say that some of us are better at it than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we all need to be servants. We all need to be sowing seed. Are you with me? I mean, right now in our church, believe it or not, right now we have about 50 people studying the Bible. That's fantastic. That's the highest we've ever had in a long time. But easily, church, it should be 100. We're almost 270 members, if you think about it. If half of us had someone they're reaching out to, we'd have over 100 people studying the Bible. Amen? You see, it's the invitations that lead to the dinners, that lead to the church visits. It's the church visits that leads to, you know, let's sit down, let's look at the Bible one-on-one. It's those studies that eventually lead to people having conviction about the scriptures, about Jesus being Lord, about sin, about repentance, about all these different things. And eventually, they become Christians, and now they're on their way to eternity. It's not magic. It's not rocket science, if you think about it. But you see, we got to keep on giving out the invite. And so I want to encourage you. In the next several weeks and months, Okay? Like I promised us, I don't know, several weeks ago, I think it was the first time I said it. We're putting together all our Bible studies. We're going to have it in booklet form. And everybody's going to get one. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to do. Yes, you know what to do. It's going to be right there in front of you, black and white. Scripture, questions, everything. It's going to be right there. Okay? So that now you got no excuse. None. But, you know, honestly, on a very serious note, you and I need to realize you know a whole lot more Bible than you think you do. You know, I think we need to stop being intimidated by, quote-unquote, the religious people in the South. People here are religious. There's a big difference between being religious and people not only knowing their Bibles and living according to it. There's a huge difference. I mean, my wife was just sharing with me today, and, you know, there's this lady she's reaching out to and everything. Very religious lady. And you know my wife, she doesn't mince words. They're talking back and forth, this. So I just say, you know what? Are you guys sleeping together? You're either going to tell the truth or you're going to lie. This religious goes to church every Sunday. Says, yeah, we're sleeping together. And they're not married to each other, obviously. They're boyfriend and girlfriend. Not once, several times. And so I just really try to help. And you call yourself a Christian? See, don't let the religiosity, don't let the outward fool you. Okay? Because the reason why we know that is because a lot of us, that's the way we used to be. Sunday morning, I was there doing my Spiritu Sante, not a Sante spray. I was there every Sunday morning. Now, don't ask me where I was Saturday night. Don't ask me what I was doing Friday night. But Sunday morning, I was there. You step out in the lobby with the holy water on your forehead and everything. You come in before you sit. You genuflect. I mean, I had it down. You would have thought, man, that guy loves God. That guy knows God. That guy is close to God. I was the farthest thing from God. But I played the part. And that's what a lot of people are doing. One minute, oh yeah, we believe in God. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Next thing, oh, we're getting a divorce. It's like, wait a second. What Bible are you people reading? That's who you and I have been called to go save. Amen? We got to look beyond the external. It's an incredible thing that God has called us to go invite people to. Treat it that way. Amen? Again, I try to put up on the screen the closest thing to pomp and pageantry that we know today and we can experience. It's one thing seeing pictures. When you see that live, it's very impressive. Extremely impressive. Just all that pomp and all the circumstances, it's like, woo, it gives you goosebumps. And I watch that, and I try to compare it to what you and I are about to experience. It's going to make this look like child's play. This world is about to find out who the true royalty really is. It's us. We're sons and daughters of the King. Amen? If William and Kate don't change and make Jesus Lord, they're not going to heaven. I'm sorry, that crown is not going to save him. If Elizabeth II doesn't change, she's not going to make it. He said, well, Richard, here you go again. You're judging people. I'm not judging anybody. I'm stating facts. So how do I know? Have you met her? No. If it's a different doctrine they're teaching, she's the head of the Church of England. We would know it. Are you with me? But that ain't the case. And all we need to do is go out and invite people to say, you know what? Get ready, baby. Put on your best clothes. You know, the clothes at the bottom of your closet. of your suitcase, dust it off, dry clean them, put it on. You know how it is when you get a formal invitation to something? What do? We husbands, first of all, we get very nervous. Because, I mean, our wives, it's like, I got to get my hair done. It's like, your hair looks great, honey. No, I got to get my hair done. As a matter of fact, I'm going to buy a new dress for this occasion. New dress? But, I mean, look at the closet. You got some nice... I got to go buy me an outfit for this occasion. And shoes to match. And you're sitting there going, oh boy. It's like, wait, why can't it just be like me? I can go rent a tuxedo. Me? Go rent a dress? Uh-uh. But you do it because it's a very special occasion. Are you with me? And it's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because again, those kind of occasions don't come up every time. Okay? So I can understand that. But I'm just saying, we prepare ourselves. We get ourselves ready. We look good. We smell good. You know, I know people who lose weight just to be able to get into a certain outfit to be able to go to a particular occasion. In America, we call it the red carpet. I don't know what kind of carpet we and I are going to be walking on, but it's not even going to be a red carpet. It's going to be a golden carpet. It's going to be something else. That's what we're inviting people to church. Amen? Amen. Let's never forget that. Let's always keep our focus on that. God is not upset with us. He's upset with those who are not responding to his message. This one doesn't want it. Go find somebody else. By the time you go down the road, I promise you, there's somebody who will accept that invitation. And as a result, you will not only change that person's eternal destiny, you're going to change lives. Because that person is going to go out and impact their family. It will impact the next generation. That's what we're talking about. Amen? Amen. And it's going to be incredible. Amen. And then one day, we all get to be there, all dressed up, and just, just thinking about it makes me want to dance. It's going to be worth it. Amen, church? Amen. It's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Amen. We can never forget that.